Greetings. This is Justin Allen, the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Welcome to the Elite Nurse Practitioner Show, a podcast dedicated to nurse practitioner entrepreneurism and achieving financial freedom, where I talk directly with nurse practitioners who need help. Listen up. Our market is saturated. Jobs can be scarce. We are underpaid. We are undervalued. We are taken advantage of by the sharks within the healthcare system, and frankly, screw that, sick of it, and it's time for a change. And listen, I'm here to help make that happen. We are powerful. We can forge a path where we are in control of our career and ultimately our financial and personal well-being. You do not need to submit to healthcare administrators and your doctor overlords. You do not have to take the measly salary. You do not have to work 50 to 60 hours a week. There is a different way, and I'm here to show you that path. This podcast is raw and unfiltered. I have not talked to the nurse practitioners in this podcast prior to the call outside of an email exchange to schedule the episode. What you're about to listen to is a consultation session between a nurse practitioner and myself. It is real, it is unscripted, it is unplanned, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Anything and everything can happen during our conversation. The nurse practitioners in these episodes are struggling with an issue in their professional or financial life, and they have reached out to me for help. My goal is to help the nurse practitioner with actionable advice that will enhance and improve their professional, business, and financial life. My other goal is to hopefully help my nurse practitioner sisters and brothers build a more productive, powerful, and free life. So I hope the content and information within these podcast episodes does just that. All right, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be talking to Mike, who is a family nurse practitioner. Currently, he is working part-time at an urgent care, but mostly operates his wellness practice that he started 2 years ago, where they provide weight loss and hormone replacement therapy services. He states his business is great, but is needing assistance with hiring additional nurse practitioners and how to systemize his business so it works for him and him not working for it. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Excellent, Justin. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for hopping on here. So let's jump into this. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been a nurse practitioner for, and you know, what sorts of things you've been doing?
So let's see. I've been a nurse practitioner for just a little over 2 years at this point. Before that, for 20 years, I was a flight nurse paramedic, and I worked a lot of ER and ICU when I crossed over to the nursing side for several years. I got out of school back in May of 2021, and I opened up my wellness clinic that August right after it. So I had wanted to get into my own thing and had decided that I was going to do it sooner than later. So I did, jumped right into it. We've actually grown really steadily for the last 2.5 years. We've got approximately 250 active TRT patients right now. Between TRT and HRT, we do some women, more men than women. And then we also have about 80 active weight loss patients right now, primarily semaglutide, tirzepatide. Let's see. So about a year and a half ago, my wife, Stacy, ended up quitting her full-time job and came to work for me to run the admin side because I was just inundated to the point where we haven't advertised in about a year. We go strictly off of word of mouth, and then people go looking for TRT near me or HRT or weight loss near me. And they see my Google business pop up because we've got about 60 Google reviews that are 5-star and then probably another 75 on Yelp. Let's see, I actually in a point now where we're trying to expand the business. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you today and see if you give me some advice.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So you started this practice pretty soon after you became a nurse practitioner. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had the wheels turning actually before I even passed my boards, actually.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So you opened this thing up like immediately after you passed your boards, or was there a little bit of a lag there?
Well, not much lag at all. I mean, it was pretty immediate. I was just putting all the pieces together because it was, you know, I was trying to avoid that whole analysis paralysis thing. So I had been following the Elite Nurse Practitioner blog for, I guess, probably the last year and a half before I graduated. And I had been getting my own testosterone supplemented for the last, I don't know, maybe 6 years, and was thinking, hey, this might be something great where I am, because there really wasn't anything in the business model of ENP around here. And so I went to my doctor that I was actually going through to begin with and asked him if he would be interested in coming on with me as my medical director. And he's a fantastic guy. He's been doing this stuff for a long time. He's like, more the merrier. So absolutely, let's do it. And so he came on, and you know, that was really probably my biggest, you know, hurdle. I wanted to make sure that I was staying above board with everything and had, you know, somebody like him to lean on because he had such phenomenal experience.
Right, right. So for any new grads listening to this, because, you know, I get this question all the time. Okay. You know, can I start my own practice, you know, after I graduate, you know, pretty close after I graduate as a new grad? What's your advice to those people? Because it sounds like you did it and you did it very well.
So my advice would be just to take the leap, you know, just, you know, put one foot in front of the other. Cause really it's, you can just kind of stuck in a random pattern of just overthinking the heck out of it.
Yeah.
If you just start putting one foot in front of the other, it just, before you know it, you've got all the pieces in there and you're running.
Yeah. Said beautifully, man. That's exactly and that's pretty much my response every time too. Like, just do it, just get started. Like you going and working at some urgent care, some primary care practice or something. You're just wasting away your life. You know, and if you desire your own business and if you desire financial independence, like you're just kicking the can down the road, like just get started. It's not that hard. Like you said, just take one step at a time. And before you know it, the business is up and running. It's not that hard.
Really amazing, man. I mean, it's like we blinked and 2 years went by.
And
I'll even have people from the forums actually reach out to me. They're like, hey man, do you have any advice? I'm like, just get going, you know, quit waiting.
Just try it. Exactly. Get out of your head. Just get going. Just start 100%. Doing, just start getting shit done, you know, just start doing one thing at a time. Before you know it, you have a business. Okay. Well, anyways, congrats, man. That's awesome to hear. Another thing I wanted to bring up too, is that the power of you know, of your business being easily found, right? So you're not advertising barely at all, it sounds like, but you're
easily, literally,
right. Yeah. Exactly. You're not advertising at all, but you're easily found, right?
Very.
Right.
Very. We lucked out. We actually had gone looking around at the time because I was trying to. So there's about, what would you say, there's like a population of 300,000 in our local county. And then we've got several other surrounding counties that are easily comparable. We had come across this older strip mall that's right off of the main artery going in and out of the downtown area of the city that we live in. And I mean, tons of visibility. And we don't even do walk-ins. We do everything by appointment only. So, I mean, we'll get drive-by traffic and they come up and they see the sign in the window or whatever. If I'm not here, then, you know, they just set up an appointment and come in. And it's just really been, you know, and like I said, we literally had to pull back on the reins because I enjoy the fact that we've actually grown as consistently as we have, but I don't want to overdo it so that I can't take as good a care of my patients as I want to.
Right, 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 right. You don't want to burn yourself out, right? You don't want to become a slave to your own business.
Yeah.
So easily found, you know, off of main road and easily found online, right? You're hitting both parts.
100%.
So that's, you know, anyone listening that's struggling, like, and this is why I always hammer it, you got to make yourself easily found. Like if you don't, you're creating a job for your patient. Don't create a job for them. Like they're searching for this stuff. Make it easy for them to find you. It's not hard. So
absolutely. The Google business. And I literally just started asking people for like, hey man, if you're having a great experience, they'll come back. It's very satisfying, this particular niche, because there's not a whole lot of, I mean, I did a lot of ER and ICU. And so there was a lot of like treat and street, and the urgent care that I still work in is very treat and street. And that's satisfying. But when like people come back to you and they've like rekindled their marriages, or they feel like more strong and less anxious in their job, or they've moved forward and actually taken their physical health. I mean, it's so much more valuable to me as a career, honestly. And then when I go ahead and ask them for these Google reviews, they put them on there. And I'm like, I would say probably easily the last, I don't know, 80 people that I've seen for TRT or HRT is specifically off of going in there and saying, looking for TRT near me, and it pops up instantly.
Exactly, man. It's that simple. Like, it's not hard. Lots of reviews, have it in your name, you know, have it on your website. It's not rocket science. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, congrats to your success here. What, if you don't mind sharing, what are your numbers looking like?
Well, so like, you mean like a gross monthly?
Revenue.
Yeah. So gross revenue, we're pulling down like 60, 65 a month.
Nice. And what are you netting out of that?
I think we're pretty close to like 50%.
Nice.
Like 45, 50%.
Congratulations. You're making more than, you know, most MDs.
Right? Exactly.
Right. Like this is no brainer stuff. Like, why would you go slave away for $55 an hour somewhere? Like, why? I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still really do appreciate clinical bedside medicine. Honestly, I've been you know, doing it for so long. It's just still kind of an addiction. But then I was just thinking before, like, you know, I've done it for a long time. You know, there's a certain point where the glass is full. Let's move on and try and really capitalize on what we've done all these years for a bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you paid your dues. I paid my dues. A lot of us paid our dues, you know, like why can't we enjoy fruits of our labor at this point, right?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, congrats, man. So, I mean, you're doing very, very well. I mean, 300,000 plus a year. That's fantastic for 2 years out of NP school. That's, you're definitely in the top 1%. There's no question about that. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was paying for itself within the first 6 months, like 6 to 8 months. Like, it was
right. You gotta be patient, right? You gotta give it 6 months. It can be slow sometimes. You're hitting your head against the wall. You're not making any money, but if you're patient with it, it happens.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so next step here then. So you are wanting to grow this thing. You know, that's the most logical step here. You could sit back, be very selective with your new patients, take only who you want to see and kind of just, you know, plateau out. If you wanted to, you'd probably be able to plateau at $350,000, $400,000 a year, probably, you know, work 4 days a week, something like that. You could probably do that if you wanted to, but I'm assuming that's not your goal.
Well, I don't think so. I think I really like the concept of not being the sole provider for one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing several of my patients recently are coming from an area that's about 45 minutes to an hour north and northeast of where we are. And I think that's kind of an even more untapped market. And so my wife, Stacy, and I we've been kind of looking and sort of reconning the area. And I think we've got an area that we're thinking about planting a north version of this area from. And so before I actually pull the trigger on that, I want to actually have somebody in here so that I can start feeding them new patients, kind of like that whole elite nurse plan. Like, I want to have a new nurse practitioner in here. I also want to have somebody in here to replace my wife, Stacy, so that they can handle the admin side of things, like answering the phone, setting appointments, checking labs, checking shipments, tracking things. Communication is huge.
Right.
We're really big on customer service when it comes to that, so that there's no surprises going to our patients. And so what I'd like to do is, we've already actually established a part-time MA/admin, and she's learning the business. We're actually working more with her this week, and she's very smart and very, very bright, very pleasant. I think she's going to do really well, especially with customer service. And then I have a friend of mine who's a nurse practitioner. He's recently out of school himself. And so I'm trying to think of the best way. Now, he actually was a student for a while and actually shadowed me here at my clinic and then also in the urgent care. And so he's going to be doing a part-time urgent care thing once he finishes boards. And then if I bring him on here and start feeding him new patients, that's kind of where I'm starting to run into rock in a hard place.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just understand this. So you're wanting to open up a second location. You're wanting to bring in another nurse practitioner, basically train them, start building up their patient census. So that way, when they transfer over to the new location, they got patients. And I'm assuming your hopes are that patient, that census, that panel that would follow them would basically pay for that new clinic. And then you would start growing it from there. Is that kind of the plan?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And then I'd like to, my intention would be to have at least a couple more. I think between the two locations, I'd like to have probably four nurse practitioners, including me.
Yep.
And that way, like an MA up there, an MA down here, and then four of us to be able to see patients as a PRN or as a part-time, or if somebody even starts doing well enough or they have enough patients coming on board, just make it a full-time thing for them, because they'll make more money here than they will work in the urgent care.
No, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, dude, you're pretty much following exactly what I did here. I mean, that's pretty much what I did too. You know, two locations, four nurse practitioners that are working. I mean, five, if you count me. So let me get this. So let me understand this. It's only you and your wife and a part-time MA right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that part-time MA, like, literally just came on last week. So she's actually going through like patient charts, making sure like recent intake paperwork for 2023 is updated. She's sort of getting her toe in the water and seeing, you know, get the basics done first. Yeah. And I'll start incorporating her into communicating with pharmacies and labs and stuff like that.
Okay. So you and your wife basically ran this thing and grew it to where it's at.
100%. Yeah. It's been.
Yeah. Okay. Were you paying your wife, or was it just kind of just money coming out of the business as the net income?
My entire life is built around paying my wife. So that's kind of a, that's the end all story.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, man, I think that, if you already have someone in mind and, you know, another nurse practitioner, even if they'll, you know, they're kind of a newer grad or whatever, that's fine. This stuff isn't rocket science, you know, it's not that difficult to learn this stuff. So,
yeah,
you could teach them all that. They could, you know, listen to even, you know, one of the nurse practitioners, one of the Elite NP courses, they could just listen to that. You could teach them and they, you know, man, they'd be able to hit the ground running in them.
Right. Well, so that was my thing. Like when he was shadowing me here, my favorite thing about him is the fact that he's really good with the patients. Like he's a great conversationalist. And that's kind of clutch, you know, because anybody I can teach the specifics of these courses that I've learned from you, but to teach him how not to be a jerk, you know, or, you know, to be able to be very pleasant to them. And so that kind of leads me into my first section. What I'm curious about is like, Do you script your nurse practitioners when it comes to their intake, or do they have something they follow? Do you let them kind of wing it?
I don't, you know, I mean, different personalities, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I had them shadow me, you know, for a couple of weeks and they'd listen to me, you know, talk to new patients and do follow-ups and that kind of a thing. I don't require them to do exactly what I do. I would like them to kind of follow the same process, the same flow. You know, ask this, you know, the clinically relevant questions, questions, you know, related to their history, et cetera, follow a procedure, so to speak. Sure. But in terms of how they interact with, the, you know, with a client or whatever, I mean, it's whatever to me. I mean, dude, I have three female nurse practitioners working for me in a men's health clinic. You know, awesome. Their personality is going to be completely different than mine, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you brought them on, Justin, did you give them, I mean, I guess you just let them just listen to your classes. I mean, it's a really great knowledge base going through those. So I'm wondering, should I just give him access to the classes that I learned from?
You can, or you can just teach them how you want it done. You know, I mean, the classes provide you a blueprint, but I mean, as you know, you've been doing this for a couple of years. It's not the end all be all, right? I mean, I'm sure you do some things a little bit differently than I taught you, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, right. So you can just teach them if you want. The thing with having the courses is that they can access, you know, the business component of it. So you don't want them to.
Yeah. Learn. No, that, I mean, that's, I thought about that, but not everybody wants to go to the trouble of.
No, they don't. Most people don't want to. You know, right. Most people just want to get a check and go home. Like they
100%.
Yeah.
This guy's got like a young kid. He's got a wife. I mean, he's interested in just sort of, he's been hustling as a nurse his whole adult life. And so now he's interested in like getting a decent paycheck and getting home. So I don't think he's interested in starting his own thing. That really wasn't super concerned.
You never know. Okay. So what I would do is I would sit down with him. Listen to the clinical portions of the course, talk with him about what I'm saying, what you do, that kind of a thing, make it more of an interactive learning experience. Then when it goes to the business section, just shut it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Great idea. Okay. Great idea. So then the other thing is like, we do have the medical director and he has certain guidelines that he wants us to kind of, he's very not liberal, but he's not a micromanaging medical director. He very much lets me kind of run my own show. And then he'll go over the charts occasionally and then we'll discuss it. When he does correct me on things, he's very amenable about it. You know, it's like, let's consider doing this. And so that's another question I want to talk to you about is templates. Cause I know, you're a big fan of templates when it comes to charting. How strict are you with templates? How much do you augment them specific from patient to patient?
Yeah. So, you know, I have a basic standard template for, you know, for the men's health visit, the new patient and the follow-ups, right?
Right.
I want each nurse practitioner to chart that same way. So that way, when each of us access each other's notes, like let's say if I see, you know, one of my nurse practitioners' patients for a follow-up or something, I can look at their note and it makes logical sense, right? It's follows the same template basically. So that way it's all uniform, so to speak. Again, you know, how she writes her history is gonna be different than how I write my history, but it follows the same template, right? So the basic standard chart note, you know, essentially. And the things that are documented are, you know, a lot of, you know, CYA stuff and I want that documented each time. Right.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to make sure that stuff is always documented. And so I would definitely follow a template like that, make sure that they're charting in a way that, makes sense to you and makes sense to them. But the biggest thing is that make sure they're charting in a way that covers your ass as the business owner. Because if something was to ever happen, that nurse practitioner is going to be sued, but they're also going to name your business in the lawsuit as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting point. What if, so I have a template that I use and it sounds like you have yours. I mean, would you be willing to share yours, or I can share mine and you can give me your,
just have it redone. I'll just email it to you. Okay. It's just a chart note, dude. It's nothing really that special.
Yeah.
It basically, you're going to see it includes the exact things that I included in the course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, okay. I mean, yeah, mine probably gonna be really similar to it.
Yeah. You know, documenting at the end of, you know, every new patient visit that, you know, that you discuss that, you know, health optimization treatments aren't a medical necessity or technically might not be FDA approved. Right. And you're voluntarily basically seeking this treatment, even though it's not a medical necessity. Patients need to know that. You need to document that, right? So it's most of the stuff I just covered in the course. But I'll send it to you. It's no problem. Make sure your nurse practitioners are following a basic template, basically. Try to systemize things as much as possible.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And that kind of rolls into another, like, so at their access. So I guess you have them. So this is a question. Like you said that you have your patients come in and they've already got their labs done when they come in. So you can just kind of hit the ground running when you just go through the labs with them and get them signed up. So I seem to have not figured out that pattern. Like people come see me, I'll draw their labs, send them off to Access, and I'll have them back within 48 hours. And then I have to follow up with them and go over their labs. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they go ahead and get started at that moment. But I'm wondering, is there any way to like whittle down that lag time? I mean, how do you get them to have their labs done before they come in?
So when they call or they walk in, my MA, you know, asks them some very standard questions, right? You know, are you having low libido? Are you having fatigue? You know, are you having, decreased recovery times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, any symptom right. that, you know, is applicable to your service, right? Are you having trouble losing weight? You know, whatever, right? So, so then there's some diagnoses that you can use, right? Fatigue, obesity, low libido, whatever. And you just have a standing order, that you can use for the lab work. So basically the MA, or the patient comes in and they, complain of low libido, whatever, the MA just checks the box on, you know, the standardized lab form, basically. And the initial blood work for everyone is the same. It doesn't change, right?
Right.
It doesn't change. It never changes unless the patient requests something, right? So it's the same standard blood work for every single patient. And so it's just basically a standing order. MA checks a couple boxes. It's already signed. And they just give it to the patient. The patient just goes, gets the blood work, right? Like I never even see the patient. They get the blood work. And then once the results come in, that's when we call them. We actually call the patient and we tell them, hey, your blood work is in. So let's go ahead and schedule the patient with, you know, let's go ahead and schedule the appointment with the nurse practitioner, the provider, whatever. And then we review the blood work with them. So that's how it works for us. And then that way I'm never seeing a patient without that blood work right in front of me because I don't want to waste time. I don't want to see the patient, then order blood work and then see the patient again. Like it's an extra step. It's honestly a waste of time. So I see them right from the get-go and we can start treatment immediately.
Okay. And so is your MA draw labs then at that point and send it off to Access, or do they just give them like a requisition? They go ahead and get it done at LabCorp or whatever.
It totally depends. So if they're going to use their insurance, we just give them the lab order. We tell them, you know, go across the street to this lab or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We give them that option, or if they're going to pay cash, then we will draw it up with Access Medical Labs, using all the, you know, the Elite MP discount labs, the lab panels. So we'll just draw it right there in house if we're not busy. Okay. If it's busy, we just give them the order and we tell them go to LabCorp.
Okay. All right. Then do you give your MAs or your nurse prax access to Access so they can actually put the orders in if they're doing it through Access?
Okay. Dude,
so
I guess it really is. Yeah, if you want to systemize your business, your MAs, your office staff, they need access to those portals to order that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Because you know, I don't want to be responsible for doing it every single time.
Yeah. It's just administrative work, man. And you know, it's busy work. You don't need to be doing that.
Yeah. So what about your pharmacies? Do you give them access to your pharmacies too? So when they look up, like they log into Empower or Southlake or CPA, like that seems a little bit more liability on my part if I give access to those pharmacies to the MA or the NP. Is that a cause for concern? Am I overthinking it?
No, I don't think it's a cause for concern because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you have to fax the prescription over to the pharmacy anyways, and then it has to be signed, right?
Right.
Right. So they get in there, they order it, and then they print off the order because, you know, most of these compounding pharmacies require a signature for a controlled substance, right?
Right. Every single time.
Every single time. So you have to sign it and fax it anyways. So what we do is, you know, my MA will get in there, they will place the order, and then the order prints out. And then basically, you know, hands it off to me, the other nurse practitioner, or whatever, sign off on it, and then they fax it. So, like, I'll arrive in the morning, or one of my nurse practitioners will arrive in the morning, or whatever, and there'll be like 6 or 7 prescriptions on the desk. Sign off. Here you go. Now fax them.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's busy work. It's administrative work. It's placing an order in a chart. Like, you know, like, yeah.
So you can't just give them like the authority through a verbal order to sign off for you or anything, right?
No, not with a controlled substance. You can't.
Okay.
Yeah. Controlled substances. You can't. DEA regulation requires you to actually sign each one.
Yeah.
Non-controls. Non-controls. You can.
Okay. All right. Unless I'm talking to the pharmacist online, then apparently they'll take it directly from me, but that's only if I'm talking directly to the pharmacist online.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, most of these ordering portals, you know, you can just place an order for, you know, let's say a non-controlled substance, like, I don't know, CJC or Ibuprofen or Somerlin or whatever, you know, yeah, just place the order.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
And my MA, my administrative staff also places the order for all the medical supplies and medications that we have in clinic. So they will go into McKesson, Henry Schein, Merit Pharmaceuticals, whatever, and they'll place the order for IV supplies, injection supplies, you know, B12, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I don't do any of that.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. And then, so as far as like, so I'm not sure what sort of point of purchase software you use, but we use Stripe. And so that seems like my biggest concern, because if they're say my nurse practitioner is here and he's got a guy and he wants to sign up, and go ahead and get him rolling with the membership of the clinic. And so like, my wife is telling me that there's some sort of an unpublished webpage they can actually put together for Stripe, so that actually it doesn't give them direct access to the entire account for Stripe, but actually allows them to do the charge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that I'm not too familiar with. You're talking about the automatic subscription, the monthly subscription.
Yeah, or the initial, you know, because we ask for first and last month up front, and then we ask for a 60-day notice if they decide to quit, and then obviously the subscription follows all that. So like, do you give your MAs or your nurse practs access to Stripe to go establish all that? Or is that something you do personally?
No, the nurse practitioners, the clinical staff, they shouldn't have to do any of that stuff. They see patients, place the orders, and they go home. Okay. Yeah. You shouldn't make your NPs do any of that kind of administrative stuff. All right. Your MA should be doing that. And so my MAs, they collect payment, they set up the subscription plan, they do all that. Like, you have to just, you have to trust people as a business owner. Like, you have to give the reins over to some people. And it is hard to do that, especially 2 years in. This is your baby. You're making great money. Like, it's hard to trust people. Okay. But that's just that's running a business. You kind of just have to, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The theft can happen. There has been an instance of theft at my practice. It was just cash transactions, though. You know, I fired that person immediately. So it can happen. You know, that's the problem with owning a business, right? When you have employees who handle, you know, money, there's always a risk. There's always a risk with stealing, right? But dude, most people are honest people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. How about liability insurance for the other NP? So is that something he can work off of the coverage I have for the practice already? Does he need to have his own?
Yeah. It totally depends. It totally depends on the, you know, on the malpractice policy. If you have a malpractice policy that is for your clinic, then there should be something on there that, you know, where you can assign the insurance to cover providers underneath it. You would need to notify the malpractice carrier of the new provider if that's the kind of policy that you have, if you have a clinic right. policy. Yeah.
Okay.
If you have an individual policy, that's just naming your LLC, your, you know, your business as an endorsement, then that won't work.
Sure, sure. Should I encourage him to have his own, though? Would that be...
So what we do is I just have my NPs get their own malpractice insurance. I will typically, just pay for it or reimburse them for it. Okay. And I will just tell them, make sure you name my business as an endorsement on your policy. And I make them show me the coverage of insurance, the certificate of insurance. And I want to see my LLC on there. If it's misspelled or anything, I make them change and fix that before they see the first patient.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So if you do that, your business is covered because they're my
partner. Okay. Yeah.
They're
I like it.
Cover it. Yeah. That's what I do, man. It keeps it clean. It keeps it simple. You can do a whole in-clinic policy if you want, but I find it to be more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it would. Okay. So then obviously they have to have their own DEA, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's see. My next one was talking about, do you use Stripe or do you use any of the others? Anything? Do you have a preference of one payment protocol over the other?
Man, Stripe or Square? It doesn't really matter. You know, they're all pretty much comparable in terms of the fees go. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking. You know, most of them are going to be about 3%. You know,
yeah,
give or take. So I really don't. We use Clover for our actual software, you know, the actual payment processing software. And then our actual merchant account is through Payment Depot right now, because the rates with them vary depending on if the person's using a debit card versus a credit card, et cetera. So I feel like I save myself a few, you know, extra tenth of a percentage point or something. But, you know, our preferred vendor, Swipe Simple, has the exact same model. So, you know, again, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we've actually been utilizing Sideline since we opened up, and there's, you know, it's just Stacy and I, and now, we've added on, you know, one of the MAs that we've brought on. Is that still a good, tool to use? Is there a better one out there? Is RingRx more applicable to these kind of niche?
So, I mean, Sideline works great as long as you don't need multiple lines going at a time, you know? And the problem with Sideline is, like, to be honest with you, Sideline, I feel like, has probably the clearest audio, clearest signal. I feel like it's like the most streamlined, phone system that you can get, but it's simple, right? RingRx works great. There is some issue sometimes with the call quality and calls falling off and whatnot. But you get the call tree option. I really like the call tree. You know, thanks for calling. Press 1 if you're a new patient. Press 2 if you're an established patient. Press 3. Whatever. Right, right. Yeah. Like, I like that. And RingRx 2 works great if you're going to have two offices. You can use that exact same call tree for each office. And the phone can ring for your office, the second office, all on the same phone. So, like, if the second office is getting busy and the first office isn't busy and they notice that the phone keeps ringing for the second office, then the first office can answer the phone and help.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. I like that a lot. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So Spruce has similar features as well. A lot of people like Spruce as well. So you might want to experiment with both.
Sure. Sure. Okay. And speaking of that second location, should I build a second Google business listing for the second location, or can I piggyback it off the one that already exists?
Technically, you're going to need to have a second one.
Okay.
Yeah. You want a second one anyways. You know, it's just going to have its own visibility, you know, its own website. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to get more reviews up there and that kind of a thing. So, you know, expect your second location to kind of probably follow the same trajectory as your first location. You know, it's going to take a few months before you start really making any kind of money. But if you're following the model where you're going to build a census up, you know, for that location before you even open, then kind of not really that big of a deal. But the patients that you had at your first location that are now at the second location because it's closer to their house, it's a new Google listing. And guess what? They can provide another review.
Yeah. Great call.
Yeah.
Great call. Okay. But same name. I mean, is it worth it?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Makes no difference. Yeah. Makes no difference.
Yeah. Okay. Have you come across, is there a biggest hurdle or a toughest aspect of a new MP trying to grow into the business? Have you noticed that they have any one particular speed bump that they have a hard time getting over, or is it?
I think it's the confidence, right? I feel like that so many people tell them that they can't do it because they are a new grad. They need to get their feet wet. They need to do this or that first, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it's naysayers mostly, I feel like it's people who are not, you know, I mean, everyone has their own opinion and I respect everyone's opinion, but my opinion, a lot of these niche services are fairly low liability, fairly easy to learn, fairly low barrier to entry. I don't see the problem, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I heard something on one of your podcasts not that long ago. It's like a business started cheaply is closed cheaply. I mean, if you keep it as simple as possible, then the risk is really low.
It's really low, right? Like, what's the risk here? You know, you put $5,000-$10,000 into it and it closes down. Okay. You're out $5,000-$10,000. It's not the end of the world. You're not declaring bankruptcy over that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. How much money did you start your practice with? I'm just curious.
I had originally intended on 10, but then one of our kids had a braces thing come up all of a sudden. So I started with $5,000 soup to nuts. And I remember thinking like I had $500 in the savings account for the business when I opened the business checking account. And that same $500 is still there. I never had to go in there and grab it to pay off any of the bills. So now it's kind of just a symbol for me to look at and go like, that's right, man. Never had to touch it.
There you go. Like, you are the picture child here, dude. Like $5,000, you know, 2 years later, you're making $300,000 a year. You tell me another investment that's going to pay off. There's no other investment that you can do that you put $5,000 in and make $300,000 a year from it. No investment. No, really can't.
And some blood, sweat, and tears, you know, and it's sure. There's some stressful points. And there's sometimes my wife will tell you that if I get stressed a little bit, man, it kind of wears me out. You know, I let little things get to me. You know, we didn't have any attrition for like the first year. Like, I think there might've been one person that dropped off in that first year that I brought on. And I took that like my childhood puppy had died or something. And now it's just, there's a certain percentage of just either move or it's not for them or whatever. And it's a whole lot easier to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that man, those first patients that drop off, that hurts, doesn't it?
It hurts.
You know, now I could care less.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. Hey, if you need to go, that's fine. No heart.
All right, good luck.
So the last thing I kind of wanted to pull your ear about, man, is writing off travel, because we have family in Florida and we have a couple of places we like to go visit on a regular basis. So I'm curious about writing off travel, and I need some tips on how to focus on doing that more appropriately. I mean, if I just go by and visit a compounding pharmacy while I'm traveling, does that help suffice? I mean, are there any keys to that?
No, I mean, you know, you're going there to talk business, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah. I mean, with the kind of money that you're making, you really need to try to write off as much stuff as possible, right? You need to have more expenses in your business and, you know, legitimate expenses. And most people, aren't writing off stuff that they should be writing off. You know, I mean, there's certain rules and regulations from the IRS that, you know, it's simply a game. And if you know the rules, you can play the game. And so,
100%.
Yeah. And so with travel, you know, there has to be some sort of intent for business with the trip, right? So you can't go on a vacation and include business. Like, the point of the trip has to be for business. Okay. You know, it's just your word. I mean, that's the intent, right? If you're going to go to Florida to meet with the compounding pharmacy or whatever, that's your intent of going down there, right? Each day that business is discussed down there is a day that you can write it off. Now, usually you have to keep track of like who you talked with, when was the meeting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your wife is an employee of your business and she is absolutely paramount to your success. So you can write off her, you know, her expenses as well.
Right.
yeah, anyone else typically you can't because they're not really an employee. But you know,
we only hire a couple of our kids to do stuff like they're like the cleaning. I've got one of my daughters who's technically the cleaning lady, and then I've got right. another one who's a photographer. She does the marketing for the business.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. But is your cleaning person necessary for a trip to, you know, trip to Florida? That'd be something that'd be hard to argue with the IRS, right?
That's a good point. Yeah, right. That's a great
right. So, you know, do you have the tax course? I'm just curious.
I do. I got it. Okay. And I love it. I actually have gone through a lot of it. I think one of the biggest things that I got out of that was making sure you have a home office, man, because that's pretty clutch. And that's what my accountant, because we've kept everything related to the business on the same credit card the whole time. And then we have the home office that we do the majority of our admin work out of. And so that's been clutch, according to our accountants, that makes all the difference.
Write it off. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so every time you leave the house, I mean, every time I go drop off labs, if I'm on my way to the, you know, if I'm dropping off supplies, anything.
Right. Exactly. Now you can start counting that as business mileage, right?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, you have to have a home office. Yeah. And, you know, like in the tax course, I talk about, you know, how to do that with the business mileage and everything. Right. So, so you just got to follow those rules. And the same thing with the rules of travel. So you want to make sure that you do travel in between weekends. And so you want to make sure you have business on Thursday and Friday, no business on the weekend, and then business on Monday. All expenses for the weekend are automatically now calculated into your write-off, even though no business was discussed because you have to stay the weekend.
Yep.
Right. You know, you have to just do stuff like that. It's a game. Play by the rules and you're fine. Document everything and you're good to go, you know? I mean, food, the hotel, the airfare, all of it, write it all off. Now, one thing that you need to do, and I'm sure that you have a business credit card and you're probably racking up miles, right? I mean, you rack up the miles with a business credit card when you have a business. I think I have like 1.5 million miles or something crazy right now. So what you can do is you pay for you and your wife's ticket for business, a business trip. Okay. Pay for it through the business so you can write it off. Then your kids just use the miles for.
Yep. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Now it's basically a free trip, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, so like one of our youngest daughter plays competitive lacrosse. And we're down here in Georgia and we have to go up to the Northeast a lot, actually two different seasons. And like, we just actually made all of the hotel reservations for the fall season. And I think it's like, what is it? Seven or eight nights of hotels. And they were completely covered by points. Like we didn't have to pay one dime for any of our hotel stays for the next entire tournament season.
It's cheating, dude. Like it's too easy, you know, like, yeah. You hear people struggling and stuff and it's so easy for you when you're doing this, playing this game. It's crazy, man. Yeah. You know, good for you. I haven't paid for a, you know, personal plane ticket. And I couldn't tell you how long.
Well, it's all thanks to you, man. You've done a phenomenal job and I can't thank you enough for lighting the fire to get me going. And I've been thrilled.
Yeah, and you're welcome, man. Listen, I'm really happy to hear that you're doing very well. I mean, you're doing really, really well. I mean, a new grad, 2 years, you know, post-graduation, you own your own clinic, you're, you know, making a really solid six-figure net profit. I mean, dude, you know, sky's the limit here. You start the second location, you know, now those profit margins are going to be 50% like they are now, because now you're paying staff and stuff. So don't expect anything crazy. Don't expect to double your income, but you know, you can easily pull 20-25% from that place. Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan, you know, down the road. I mean, every little bit adds to it, man.
Exactly. It adds up. Right. And so before you know it, dude, you'll be making $500,000 a year, a couple of years from now. And before you know it, you're going to have a $1 million business. Those two locations combined, once it's all said and done, you'll probably have a $1 million business within a year and a half, probably. Like you will be pulling in seven figures a year. Gross.
Plan. That is the plan.
Yeah. It's crazy, that's man. Most businesses never get to that point ever. And you're probably going to be there the next year or two. So
crazy.
I applaud you. Congrats. Yeah. So I'm sure you've listened to these episodes before. So I like to ask me a question, you know, any personal questions, anything you've ever been curious about, anything like that.
Yeah. Like how's your little boy?
Doing great, man. So we record this in August, 2023. And he's, damn, he's going to be almost 9 months here soon. crawling, you know, pulling himself up, babbling and stuff. It's great, man. It's crazy to see how fast they develop, you know?
Oh, well, can you believe how much you're able to love something like that?
I know, man, right? It melts my heart every time I look at him. Yeah.
It's crazy. I never used to be a crier. Now my wife makes fun of me all the time. Like, we'll be watching TV and there'll be like a McDonald's commercial come on about some daddy thinking about his little girl back in on the playground, and she'll hear me sniffle. I'm like, I just got something in my eye, man. So I'm not crying.
Hey dude, are you sure that's, you know, you getting softer? Are you sure maybe your estrogen's not too high?
From it's not. I got to check for just that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you need some anastrozole maybe?
Nope. I'm good.
I'm just joking. Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, it's great, dude. I agree. I'm, you know, we were thinking about a second one, just trying to juggle that. I don't really know if I want two under two kind of a thing.
Yeah, but man, we've got six and they were all, man. like our oldest is 24. My youngest is 13. And I don't know, geez, how many were under? It can be done, dude. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Like how much more you love every single day with them in your life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Six kids. Right. New grad NP started his own business 2 years ago with six kids. Dude, you're a hero, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool, dude. Well, listen, I appreciate you hopping on here. And, you know, if you ever want to do a follow-up, just let me know.
Well, man, this has been really helpful. Thank you so much, Justin.
All right, no problem. Take care.
Take care.
All right, bye. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode with Mike. So new grad NP started his own business, you know, offering wellness services, weight loss, HRT, sees men and women, mostly men though. 2 years, bringing in $65,000 a month gross, profiting 50% of that. Crazy. This can be done. Like, if you are a new grad NP listening to this, you can do it, all right? This stuff isn't rocket science. And if you already own your own practice and you're looking to grow it, you know, you can grow it. You can take it to the next level. I mean, Mike's 2 years in and he's going to take this thing to the next level. He's going to have a seven-figure business in the next year or two. I guarantee it. He opens that second location up and he'll have $1 million business. Sometimes you have to open up a second location in a, you know, another area. If you have patients coming in an hour and a half away, they're driving to you, you know, there might be some opportunity around you that you might not know of. You know, I've talked about it before. Small towns are gold. You know, there are a lot of small towns in this country that don't have these kinds of services that can provide a, you know, great opportunity for business. But if you're a new grad and you want to start your own business, I say go for it. A low liability, low risk business is a pretty safe bet. All right. Hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Quick legal disclaimer. The content of this podcast is meant for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as legal, financial, medical, regulatory, or practice-specific advice. For information pertaining to your specific legal, financial, medical, or practice-specific needs, please be sure to consult with your lawyer, CPA, medical director, and or your state's practice laws and the most up-to-date clinical guidelines. As always, do your due diligence when it comes to any information found online and in podcasts. The content of this podcast is copyrighted by Galaxy Medical Southwest 2023 and cannot be duplicated, rebroadcasted, or reproduced without our written permission.